What's going on, Bulls fans, and welcome to a new venture for me. I am your host, Hayes. That's my nickname, or you guys can call me CJ, just depending on what you want to call me. But we'll see how this develops and what moniker and nickname I use in this show as it just continues to grow. And, you know, I develop it. I am a veteran with podcasting. I've been podcasting with my solo podcast right on the four-year anniversary of that. Outside of that, I also was part of a different podcast for a few years before then. So this podcasting thing isn't completely new to me. What is new to me? And like I said, welcome. And I'm sorry, I'm just really kind of jumping in there dry. Welcome to Chicago Bulls Central. This is a new podcast from me. I'm the host, Hayes. And before we get into like what I want to talk about this week, I want to first start off of what is the mission? So this is your first time listening. It's the first episode. And basically, I am a lifelong Bulls fan. My dad, he grew up in Chicago. He's from Chicago. And so naturally, I'm a Chicago sports fan by that. Now, my parents were in the military, so we lived all over the place. But I was born and bred Chicago Bulls fan. And, you know, I am in my mid-30s, so I was really started watching basketball in the height of the last three-peat of Jordan and the Bulls. And so that's when I first started watching basketball with my dad. I remember sitting there at a young age watching the Bulls. And then, of course, got to see the downtime after that, the rise of the baby Bulls, the Derrick Rose era, Jimmy Butler to where we are now. So I've been a Bulls fan for my whole entire life. And so I've been kicking around this idea for really years of starting a Bulls podcast. And the podcast network that I created that my solo podcast is on has a sports podcast. So I was like, you know what? Let me not double dip in that. Let me not step on what their lane is. They don't cover the Bulls specifically. They cover all sports. So shout out to Technical Foul Podcast. By the way, you could check them out. They're one of the best sports podcasts you will find for everything from basketball, football, to wrestling, to UFC. They really cover everything. So shouts out to them. But so that led me here. That led me to want to talk about my favorite team, a team that I watch everything they do every minute. It takes up so much of my day. I get alerts for Bulls news on my phone. And I always enjoy talking about the Bulls. And I find myself anytime they come up or I have a reason to kind of sneak it in there. And like I said, because I've been kicking the idea around for so long, I figured why continue waiting? This is something that I love. It's a team that I love. It's something I'm passionate about. And I'm all about diving into your passion. So why not? So this is Chicago Bulls Central podcast from CEO Hayes. And so with all the excitement, of course, I was going to wait till the start of the season to do this. But our Bulls, our beloved Bulls, have really kicked into free agency on a different gear than what I was expecting. Had the Bulls signed Lonzo Ball and that be it, I would have thought that was a great deal. Yeah, hell, Spencer Dinwiddie, Kyle Lowry would have been like, they're really trying to do something to improve. But let's go over some of these free agent moves at the deals. And I know this has been widely covered already, but first, the very first move in the opening minutes of free agency, the Bulls signed Lonzo Ball in a sign and trade for Sato and Garrett Temple. And initially, when that sign and trade was announced, I said, all right, well, now we know how Lowry's gonna leave the Bulls. And then when I found out that it wasn't for Lauri Markkanen was not involved in the deal at all, I was completely surprised. And this is really like it shows what Eversley and Karnashova really are capable of as GMs, and the fact that they make these moves very smart. They were able to, and that's one of the things you'll see over the theme of this. So we get Lonzo Ball. Lonzo, who at least on paper seems like he's going to be a perfect fit next to Zach LaVine. He increased his 3-point percentage last year. Is that going to be something consistent? Is it something he can continue to grow? We know he's changed his shot completely. And I think that, you know, Lonzo wanted to be here, at least by most reports, by, you know, it seemed like he wanted to come play for the Chicago Bulls. And you always, if you can get a player that wants to be here, that's at 23 years old, he'll be 24 when the season starts back, and seems like he's going to be a perfect fit for your main superstar, you have to go out and get them. And they went out and made that deal happen without giving up much of anything. And that is huge. I think for me, I think that Lonzo not only is going to play next to LaVine, but also I think he can play some with Kobe White. And we'll talk about Kobe White later in this podcast. I know there's some speculation of what may happen with him. But I really like Lonzo Ball signing, and not even just for that. Having a real point guard on the team, someone who is a distributor, someone who, you know, isn't going to necessarily need a bunch of shots. He can take the open ones. I mean, he can create for others. Lonzo on this team, I really think for me, it's huge. And I think he's gonna whatever the best version of what this team ends up being, I think Lonzo's gonna bring out a different side of these players. I think he's gonna be really good for Zach. I think he's gonna be good for Vucevic. I think he's gonna be good for P. Will. I even think he's gonna be good for Lauri Markkanen. We'll talk about that kind of in the next bit of after we talk about the new additions. We're gonna talk some about Lauri and Kobe White. But next, and then after that, what do the Bulls do? Well, they bring in Caruso next, but we'll talk about that later. But the next big deal, on the next day, they trade for DeMar DeRozan. And again, much like with the Lonzo thing, once I saw that this deal happen, I said, all right, well, Lauri's probably going to Toronto. But no, they bring in DeMar DeRozan by trading Thad Aminu, a first-round pick, future first-round pick that I think the earliest it can be conveyed is 2025. But then 2026, possibly, just depending on how the protections work with that Orlando pick that we owe them, and 2 second-round picks. Now, I know there's been a lot of talk. Some people feel like maybe the Bulls gave up too much. Maybe they gave up too much to bring in DeMar DeRozan. And how much does he really improve your team? I think when you can get a 20-point-per-game scorer and you have a point guard who can distribute the ball, you need more scoring on this team. Yes, he isn't the player defensively that Thad Young was. He doesn't play the same position as Thad Young. But I think DeMar DeRozan has shown, even at his age, is he 30, right at 30, 31? He still has a lot left in the tank. It's not over. He's not anywhere where it's like he's over the hill. And, you know, they get him on a 3-year deal. So I think that shows what Eversley and Karnišova really give themselves. They're giving themselves the next 2 to 3 years to really put this team together. And if not, they're going to kind of have to rebuild. If Zach doesn't resign, that's going to, of course, make that push that timeline ahead a little bit, because I don't know how well these pieces really fit together as far as, you know, being a force if Zach LaVine does end up walking. But at least for right now, you bring in that 20-point-per-game scorer. You slot him in next to Zach LaVine at the 3. You move P. Will down to the 4, and then you have Vucevic at the 5. And, you know, that brings you a very solid starting 5. Like I said, and Billy Donovan is a coach who builds his system to the player. So the way that we saw them play last year is going to be vastly different than how we see them play this upcoming year, just because of the nature of who is on this team now and the versatility, at least offensively, that they have. Yes, this team is going to have some defensive holes, at least on paper. We'll see what that means, but they have vastly improved the team. Now, the move that I don't really like as much as some people have, that is the signing of Caruso. And for me, Caruso was all hype over substance. Like, he does the things. If you watch him on the court, he does a lot of things. I get it. A lot of teams need the player who's going to play dirty. They're going to need the player who is just going to go out there and play tough. But to me, the money that they gave him, not that it's necessarily bad money, but I think if they knew or had a feeling they were going to be able to get DeRozan, I think you make that deal first, and then you see what else is out there, who else gets bought out, who doesn't get the deal that they want. Because at least by the way things are shaped, for example, we saw Thies sign for basically the same exact contract that Caruso signed for. But, I mean, and we need big man depth. But outside of that, even if he wasn't the guy, I just think that there are better options out there, looking at kind of who's still out there now. And why not take a chance at them? Now, we know that they were talking with Derrick Rose. It's probably no coincidence that they signed Caruso literally right after Rose announced that he's going back to New York. But I just feel like this would, like, not that it's, like I said, not that it's necessarily bad money or bad signing per se, because he could play into this and show that it was more than worth it. I just feel like he wasn't a player that you needed to make that deal on day one of free agency. You could have waited. Didn't seem like LA was going to re-sign him. So, and then even if another team does take him from you, could you have not, you know, kind of brought in players to have just the same impact? That's just kind of my thinking on it. I understand he bolsters that bench. We need bench players, and we'll see how that goes. Now, the last two additions to this team, Marco, who Simenic, I'm Simicevic. I'm terrible with foreign players' last name. Who was our second round pick from last year? Seems like he's going to be coming over. As of this, the Bulls even posted like welcome him to Chicago. Now that may just be because he's playing in the summer league. I don't think he's officially signed a contract yet, but at least signs point to him coming over. And then also Tony Bradley. Now we need big man depth. Lauri's still in this roster for now. But even with that being said, we needed to get some big man. Now, Marco seems like he has a lot of potential. You hear and read some really good things about him. You know, some of the negatives on him are that the competition that he's faced over there. But overall, you know, you need to add potential to this team. And he walks into a team now that has more veteran leadership and that he's not going to be asked to do a lot. Even with Tony Bradley, Tony Bradley's probably going to be the first center off the bench to back up Vucevic. Marco's probably going to have to prove himself, but who's to say that he doesn't? And, you know, he's a versatile big man. He can shoot the ball. So, you know, bringing him in now where it's not like a situation like Lauri, it's not even a situation like Nico when he came over, that they're expected to do a lot. You actually can develop and bring these guys along slowly as you see how they adjust to the NBA game. That could be huge. Like, when I say huge, I mean long-term, right? Because you're not going to stunt these players' growth by throwing them out there and just letting them figure it on. They're going to come to a team that has expectations. They're going to have to earn their time in the role. They're going to have veterans around them. And hopefully they come into a new winning culture, and that really helps them develop as well. So I have high hopes for Marco. Not necessarily that he's going to – I know people like to compare him to Joker and stuff like that. Not even that. But just if he's going to develop into a solid player for this team and have a role – going forward, I think this is a great position to bring him in. Now, Tony Bradley, who came over, you know, he's not going to be looked at to do very much either. Protect the rim, play with high energy, play good defense. I haven't really seen him play very much, so I can't really speak to that. It seems like people think he's going to be able to fill that role pretty well. So we'll see. Again, though, this is the additions. They all make sense. And the Bulls made smart moves. They used their assets to really improve the team. Now, it does suck to lose Thad Young. I think we're going to notice Thad missing. Like, we did replace him. We did bring more veterans. But I think had we been able to configure the deal, especially with, like I said, Tony Bradley, our second-round pick from last year, Marco Sips. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. But having Thad Young on this team really could have helped them develop as well. We've seen what Thad Young was just able to do. He's also Zach LaVine's really good friend. So it sucks to lose him. He was really big for us last year. But I think overall, what you net with the deals that we made, it is better than what we sent out, at least right now. Now, that first round pick, we'll see how that develops, especially if it's not till, you know, much further down the road when Zach could be gone. Maybe these players are gone. So we'll see. But as of right now, you've improved this team. You've given us so much expectation, and the vibe is back in the city of Chicago. And for Bulls fans as a whole, me and my dad, after the trades and after all this went down, we're just talking about different expectations and what this could mean for the city, what this could mean for the team and the franchise long term. But ultimately, though, all this means nothing if you do not re-sign Zach LaVine, and that's what this boils down to. Have you done enough for Zach to re-sign here? He's talked about it's all about respect for him. You're going to have to offer him big money. You got him on a really good deal with that offer sheet that Sacramento signed him to, that he's currently on now. But those two things have to happen. You have to give him a deal that he feels respected. You also have to put a team out there that he feels proud in and that he knows is going to compete. Zach LaVine, you can tell he wants it. He's hungry. He's 26 years old. He's in the prime of his career. This is the time to re-sign Zach LaVine. And you guys have really put a good team on there. But this all, everything, as good as the moves that the Bulls have made, it all means nothing. Nothing if they don't re-sign Zach LaVine to a long-term deal. Now, that's it there. Kind of to come down, what do the possible moves the Bulls have left to improve this team? There's still Lauri there, who seems like a lot of the money on the free agency is dried up. A lot of the teams that were reported to have interest in Lauri have all either sent that money elsewhere now. With the signing trade, and we've seen a lot of signing trades this offseason, it leaves anything possible. But my opinion on this, and maybe you picked up on it from the beginning, I wouldn't mind seeing the Bulls re-sign Lauri Markkanen to maybe a 2 or 3 year deal, a prove it deal, because now that you have a real point guard on the roster, right? And a point guard who's a distributor first, who's smart with the ball and what he does. Now that we have a player like that, can he bring out the better in Laurie? And just with an improved team overall, Laurie was so good his first 2 years. And then we started seeing him, started seeing chinks in the armor. Last year was a terrible year for Laurie. Terrible year. But he still showed flashes over the course of the year. There is and especially with the Spurs being interested, the Spurs are one of those franchises where, you know, they seem to be able to get the best out of players. I really do think that that Laurie can have a very good NBA career. Now, can he be a franchise player like we thought at one point? Who knows? Probably not. But I don't know if he has the demeanor to be. But when you look at how improved this team is, and when you look at a four who can rebound, who can play with energy, who isn't terrible defensively when he's actually, if he goes back to how he played the first couple of years, Laurie, there's a good NBA player in there. And then his skill set is one that's coveted in the NBA now for people who can do it consistently. Like, he hasn't done it consistently. I'm not saying that he has, but I'm just saying that when you look at what Laurie can do on the court, when he's at his best, when he's hot, whatever, that is needed. And especially on a team that we don't have a great big man depth, I wouldn't mind seeing Laurie re-sign if they match a decent offer. Reportedly, you know, he wanted more than $15 million. And so we'll see. Maybe this is humbling for marketing and his people as well as far as what his value is. He has to show it. And maybe they sign a decent deal and come down on that with the Bulls. Now, I'm not saying that that's expected. More than likely, the thing that's more than likely going to happen is he probably is going to be moved, or he's going to come back on the qualifying offer. Now, that could be big for him. That can hurt for him. You got to think of it in this sense, right? Laurie is now, at least with the way everything is going, he's going to be going in on a one-year deal on a team that seems to be not planning on having him being a big part of the rotation going forward. That money's not going to be out there for him if he's not even given the opportunity to play on what can now be a playoff team. Now, if he does show, the Bulls are going to play him if he's playing great. If he does come and has a great season, then yeah, it could work out. He could bet on himself and it could work for him. But that uncertainty, we've seen it work. For example, hell, Ben Gordon played this same game with the Bulls, if you think about it. And this takes you back. Ben Gordon, quote unquote, betted on himself, signed in Detroit, and then was really not a factor that after that at all. And that's coming off seasons where he was one of the best players on the Bulls. That's a dangerous game to play. It's a dangerous game to play, but it could work out. So I guess we'll see. Now, the one thing that I want to talk about here is Coby White. Now, there are some people that are expecting Coby to be traded. There are some people who are calling for Coby to be traded. I think that is fucking ridiculous, and here's why. We need bench players. Coby White, if nothing else, is a microwave off the bench. Now, he can shoot you out of games. He can shoot you into games. But when you have a player who's, going to be 21 years old, who's shown a bunch of flashes and a bunch of promise, you don't give up. I personally would not give up on Coby White going into his third year right now, especially at a time where really the best situation for him is when he can come back healthy, is him coming off the bench, being able to feast off second off other bench players and really hopefully find a shot, find his groove. You don't want to give up. I don't want to give up on Coby White right now. I understand why people, and I'm not saying if you can find a great deal that improves this team by getting rid of Coby White, do it. Nine times out of 10. Only that one time I say, because sometimes you may get fleeced, but you do that deal if you can do it. But all I'm saying is that for the ones that are calling for Coby to be traded, the ones that are saying that Coby has to move on, has to be traded, you got to slow your roll on that. Yes, they've moved over a lot of this roster. Yes, they've turned over a lot of the players who were here before they got here. But Coby White, I feel, shouldn't be one of those players for the reasons that I listed. You guys let me know how you feel about it when you're listening to this podcast. The last thing here, lack of big man depth, quality big man depth. Now, one thing that I will say here is that much like the first year that Tibbs was the coach, when we had the bench mob, when you look at a lot of those signings, they weren't huge signings. It's really about how the players come together, right? How everything comes together, how they mesh, the system, everything there, and what happens there. The Bulls could very well, even though it looks like they may not have a really good bench right now, the Bulls could. Coby and Score, Do It All person in Caruso, Simonic and Marco in whatever he ends up being, Tony Bradley in Protecting the Rim, also what Troy Brown that we have still have on this roster as well, Io who we drafted, you know, who could show something. The Bulls have an interesting bench, and it's going to be interesting to see how they fit into this team and the way that this team ends up playing and what happens there. But I still think we still need like one or two more solid veteran signings on this roster to see what happens. And like I said, they may come via trade with Lauri. But that brings me all to like really last two topics for this episode. And this first episode is, where will the Bulls rank in the playoffs? Hey, you know what? No, we'll save that for last. Expectations for Patrick Williams in his second year. You have to look. He comes into a much improved team. Really everything that he does is kind of the do-it-all guy. Really, I don't want to compare him to Luol Deng, but that Luol Deng type where it's really, he does everything else that everyone else in the starting lineup doesn't do. He defends well. He doesn't shoot the three extremely well, but he can shoot it. Great. Just this, I think ultimately, however good the Bulls are going to be years down the road, whether they keep Levine, unless a different player comes in, P. Will has to develop. And I think he's going to be in a good position, much like what I said about Lauri. To come in now where you have these veterans and the score that you don't, whenever, like, hopefully Patrick Williams is going to get some open shots, like some really good open shots with the other four starters out there. He's been starting since day one. My expectations for P. Will in his second season is I think we're going to see him just ball. And by that, I don't mean he's going to score 20 or 10 or get 15 rebounds. I don't mean necessarily he's going to show up in the stat sheet. But I think when we look at Patrick Williams' ability to impact the game this year, and when we take a step back, and, you know, I think we're going to see it, right? You're going to see the impact that he has on the team. You're going to see the growth in him. You're going to see what type of player he's going to ultimately turn into really in this season. I have really high expectations for P. Will. Now, the very last topic, Bulls, playoffs. We have to make the playoffs this year. And I don't mean that play-in shit. The Bulls need to make the motherfucking playoffs this year. It has to happen. If the Bulls don't make the playoffs, let's just say by some, I don't even give a fuck if everybody gets injured. If the Bulls do not make the playoffs this year, fire every fucking body. But as far as like, let's say health, everything, looking at the East, I really think the Bulls can be a fifth or sixth seed. And if they exceed expectations, if this team melds better than what we think they're going to do, if they end up, you know, they have a bunch of trade exceptions now. If they end up getting a veteran through trade exceptions or something that we don't see right now, maybe through the buyout season or whatever, and they're able to add to the team that way, this team, there are going to be players that are now interested in looking at the Bulls again as a viable place to go. And I think if certain chips fall in different ways, injuries to other teams, whatever else happens, the Bulls can easily find themselves in the top four. Let me not say easily, because I said if things go certain ways, but they can find themselves in the top four teams in the Eastern Conference, I feel. And it just remains to be seen. We'll see how it turns out with the Bulls. We'll see that. That's it for this first episode. And I know I was excited. One thing that you'll learn about me, when I get really excited, I talk really, really fast. So I apologize if there's times where I was just going a mile a minute. We'll learn to slow down. I get really excited when I talk about my Bulls. As far as social media, we have none yet. As far as future episodes, we'll probably drop. I'm gonna attempt, at least leading up to the season, to drop an episode a week. I wanted to focus on the Bulls here. We'll talk about some NBA moves in general and stuff as this podcast continues to go on. If you want to send us any feedback, if you want to send us thoughts, you can do so. The email is bullcentralpod@gmail.com. We also do have a voicemail line. If you want to leave us one, it's 614-547-2039. You can follow me personally if you want to at CEO Haize. That's CEO HAIZE. That's really it for this first episode. Thank you for joining me on this venture. We'll see how this continues to grow. Like I said, Bulls are seriously my saying to end this on, and this is a saying that I have said for years. It's God, family, and then the Chicago Bulls, and that's where things rank in my life. I'm signing off. I see you lovely and beautiful people in who knows when, but it'll be within a week if I don't drop. If the Bulls do anything else crazy, I'll probably drop an emergency pod, but I'm out. Peace.
Mother's Day is almost here, and you can get her the most beautiful time-tested gift around. A watch she can wear every day for Movement. Whether mom's into classic dress watches, rare and refined ceramics, or tried-and-true bestsellers, Movement has something she'll love. And right now, you can save big on the best Mother's Day gift ever with up to 50% off site-wide during Movement's Mother's Day sale at MVMT.com. Again, that's up to 50% off at MVMT.com.